Good morning, church. I feel like we've already had like a full service, right? I feel like we've had a lot of good things this morning. I feel like the Lord has really been moving. Well, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome anyone that's watching online. And this morning, I actually don't get to welcome my mom online. My mom is here this morning, so I'm glad that you're here. It's really exciting. They live about 6 hours away, so it's good that you're here. I got to surprise her this week with being able to speak this morning. Something I want to just reiterate real quick before we dive in this morning is just my appreciation. Pastor Jim was on sabbatical this summer and gave me the opportunity to speak multiple times, and I am continuing to get that opportunity. And so I just want to thank you for that, and the elders as well. It's a special thing to be supported by leadership and to have a group of people that stand behind us and support us. So I'm trying to find all of you real quick. It's hard with all the people in here. But thank you, guys. I want to just show my appreciation for that. So real quick, one more thing before we dive in. Yesterday was my daughter's two-year-old. It was her birthday. Right here, there's a little picture. There's her little Mickey Mouse stuff going on. She had a little mini shirt on. She had the ears, the shoes. She had it all going on. This was right as people were showing up. She's like, people are too much for me. So she sat on the phone for just a minute because it was a lot for her with people coming in. So awesome. All right, let's dive in. So we're in chapter 26 of the story. If you've been with us, we read chapter 26 this week. And there's a phrase, it's the very first line of the chapter. And here's what it says. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. That's what Jesus says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And in today's language, that would be like someone saying, hey, everything's okay. You don't need to worry about it. Everything is going to be okay. And that's something I would hope and guess that's a hope for all of us, right? We hope things go well. We hope school goes well today. We hope this test goes well. We hope we get this job. We just hope things are going to go well. And here's a question for you. Have you ever promised someone that things were going to go well, and then they didn't? Like, they completely went off course. I have. She still married me, but let me just tell you this real quick. So, I grew up in Illinois, and in the winter, there's lots of snow, so we did lots of sledding. That was a very normal thing for us. And there's this place where everyone goes to sled. It's a park on the south side of town. Ready for it? South Park. That's what they called it, right? Come on. Man, that's a good job naming that one. That was hard to. So, big hills, I mean huge hills. This is where the football team would go to run hills, literally, for cardio and early morning on Saturdays in the summer. This is where they'd go. So it's massive hills. And so we went sledding this day, this winter. It was before we got married. We were still dating. I don't even think we were engaged yet. And went down multiple hills, and then I said, hey, there's another hill I want to show you. And here's what you need to understand. This is not a sledding hill. This was like a deer trail that kind of went down the side of a cliff, and you just landed at the bottom. All right? You just kind of hoped you made it to the bottom. And like adrenaline, you cannot steer once you start. You can't really stop once you start. Narrow path, just everything you could ever want if you're like, I love to do this. And if you're someone that's gone skiing, they have these slope like ratings, right? Depending on the angle of the hill, you have the green, the blue, the black diamond, the double black diamond. I'm gonna say, Kelsey, what do you think? Where are you? I don't even know where you're sitting. Double black diamond, like all the way. Okay. So we went sledding down this double black diamond deer trail that was in the middle of the woods, right? And I went down, and I had done this again for a couple of years. I've done this whole bunch. I knew. So I went down a couple times, and finally I encouraged her to go to the top and to come down the hill. And there was one issue with this. Now, this isn't an issue in and of itself, so a couple people in here, don't get upset. Let me finish what I'm saying. The issue is that my wife was from Texas. Now, hold on. So she didn't spend a lot of time sledding growing up. That's the end of that sentence. You got to make sure that finishes. I don't want to upset any Texans in here. But my wife was from Texas. She didn't spend a lot of time on the snow. And so here's me at the bottom of this hill. And the last thing I say to her before she takes off, it's going to be okay. I promise everything's going to be okay. That's what I promised her. And she comes barreling down the hill, and about midway through, it actually gets a little steeper. And, you know, she lost control of the sled, and you're supposed to go this way. Like, the trail goes this way. Your body's supposed to go this way. Her body went a little horizontal this direction, and her chin landed on the side of a tree, hit her chin, and then spun and rolled down the rest of the hill and landed at my feet. I told you it was going to be okay, right? That was my promise. And that didn't work out, but here's the good news. Here's the good news. One, she still married me. That's good news. The second thing is that when Jesus says, hey, it's going to be okay, his promise is a little better than mine was that morning. His promise comes through all the way into heaven. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and he comes through with that promise. So let's look at our text for this morning. We're going to be in John 14, 1 through 4. And again, this is in the story. It's chapter 26. Here's what it says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So what you have to understand here is Jesus is sitting in the upper room. He's sitting in this room with his disciples, and he's trying to explain to them, I don't have much time left here. I'm going to be crucified soon. I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be with you. And he's saying, but where I'm going, oh, it is so good. And I'm going to go and prepare that place for you. And I think something for us, and I promise, you're probably not going to believe me, Kelsey and I didn't work on the sermon and the songs together, anything like that, even though somehow it seems to be very similar. But Jesus literally right now is preparing heaven for you and I. That's what this tells us. He is preparing heaven for those that follow him to come and spend that time with him. That's something that he encourages his disciples and something he encourages us with. He is preparing a place for us. And very quickly, like a lot of times in the Gospels, the disciples ruin a very good moment with a lack of understanding. Verse 5 in chapter 14, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Like, he missed it. Like, I'm literally creating and making heaven ready for you. And he's like, what did you say? Like, he has no idea what is going on here. You know, I was in a conversation this week with Alec Davis. We're sitting in my office. We're talking about a youth event coming up. We're super excited, going back and forth. You know, like 30 minutes, we're dreaming all these big things. Pastor Jim is down the hall a couple doors. He overhears our conversation and decides to encourage me with a meme. Here is the meme that I was encouraged with. Thank you. If it's a little hard to see in the back, there's Iron Man. It's going to be on your left. That's the youth pastor's vision. That was our conversation, Alec. And then there's like a kid duct taped with construction paper and like a red trash bag on the right. And that's the budget for the youth ministry. And I think, so here's what I did is I was writing the sermon. I thought about Thomas's question. And I feel like this meme was really good. So I rewrote the meme right here. Here's what it says. Go ahead and do that second one. Jesus' preparation and Thomas' understanding. I feel like that was kind of his reaction to Jesus' question, right? I'm preparing this. Look at what I'm making. And Thomas' understanding and his response is more this kid on the right side. And I just wonder, what did Jesus' kind of face look like? Like, how did he respond? What did he look like? But what I do know is the beautiful response that he gave. John chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And so what I want to do for the remainder of our morning is just spend time in the first half of verse 6 here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All three of these words are things that we pursue. They're things that we wonder about every single day. If you're anything like me, that's what I do. You're thinking, how can I love God? What must I do? What's the way to his heart? What's the way to heaven? What's truth? Who's truthful? Who's trustworthy? Can I grasp what truth is? Can I understand what truth is? What's life? What's the purpose of life? What's my purpose in life? What's the meaning of life? We look at these three things and we wonder about them all of the time. And you know, I can't promise to answer all of those questions, but I can promise, better than I did that morning in the snow, that Jesus has the answer to all of those questions. And that's what we're going to look at. So the first one is this. What does Jesus mean when he says he is the way? The way, the truth, the life. The first one is the way. A couple scriptures for us to look at. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 through 25. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. And then we're going to jump forward to chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I put a few pictures together to help us kind of understand what Paul is saying here about Jesus being the way. So this right here is just an image of man and God. This was what Genesis was like in the garden when God created us. We were together. We were one. We were in community with God. But when sin came in, then you see the separation, and that's what you're going to see in this second image. A lot of you have seen these images on the internet, different things. This is how I visualize what sin does. You have us on one side, you have God on the other side, and sin actually separates us. It pulls us apart from God. And the cross is the one thing that allows us to bridge that gap. It's the one thing that really removes that gap and allows us to be in his presence. On the cross, the penalty was paid. Nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do can pay that. The cross itself, literally, no pun intended, crosses that gap, okay? The cross does that for us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is the way. So what does he mean when he says truth? That's the second term that he mentions here. And we actually see a conversation in this, in the story in chapter 26, and just a couple chapters later in the book of John, John 18, 33 through 38. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Verse 38, then Pilate presents this question. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate, right? It's a question that we ask a lot. I know that I've asked this question. And I know there's times where you may ask this question and then the answer you get is not what you wanted at all, right? Like you've taken your car in to get the oil changed and then you get the call that you need new brakes and new tires. You're like, time out. I wanted the $30 oil change. I didn't want to have to fix my car. I don't want that truth. Or something Kelsey and I have dealt with. We took a couple of years off from the dentist. That's okay. You know, our parents did good. They had us in. And then we got married and they weren't paying for it anymore. And neither were we. And, you know, we took a couple of years off. You can times that by a few more, but that's okay. So then we go in, we're like, yeah, we'll just go in, get the x-rays, get our teeth cleaned, look real pretty. And I think in the last like year and a half, there's been 10 fillings, there's been a root canal, there's been a crown put on. My teeth felt fine. And then I went to the dentist, and there's a truth that was given to me that I did not want. I just wanted my teeth to be cleaned. Sometimes when it comes to truth, we struggle with that, right? What is truth? Then we receive the truth, and we're like, I don't know that that's the truth that I wanted to hear. But the good news, and this is something that I've found in my short 32 years. Is it 32, Kelsey? It's 33. It's one of those two. 32 years, I think. Is that Jesus is truth. And he's not just someone of truth. He's not just someone telling the truth. He isn't just a trustworthy person. He is the embodiment of truth. There is nothing in him that is false. There is nothing in him that is of a lie or of anything negative. He is holy and good and truthful. And I know that is something all of us desire, that all of us look after. So do not let your hearts be troubled, for Jesus is the truth. The last one that he mentions is life. What does it mean when he says he is the life? I think there's three things we can look at real quick. The first one, spoiler alert for next Sunday, Jim's going to talk about the resurrection. Jesus raises from the dead. Sorry I told you that a week early. But the very first thing when he says, I'm the life, that's what he's talking about. He has beaten death. Death has no hold on him. When he came off the cross, when they took him off the cross, that wasn't the end of the story. 3 days later, the grave opened up and he came out. So that's the first thing that he means. Here's the second thing. It is this idea of also a new life here on earth. Here's what 1 Corinthians 8:6 tells us. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. As a Christian, as a Christ follower, we now live for Christ. Not for ourselves, not for the things of this world, but we pursue after him. We conform our minds and our hearts to him through his grace, through his spirit, and after him. We have a new life here on earth. And the third one, which seems like has been a topic this morning, is Jesus gives eternal life to all of those who believe in him. Just like he told Thomas, I'm preparing a place. Told his disciples, I'm preparing a place for you. And in the middle of our chapter here, John 17:2, it says this, for you granted him, he's actually speaking about himself, authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all of those who believe in him. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is the life. So I wonder, just looking at all of this, what does this mean for you and for me? What does it mean for Monday morning when you're back in the office, right? What does it mean when you're back at school? What does it mean at the end of the week when the kids are kind of being hard and you're tired? What does it mean when you have that tough conversation with someone? And I think if I can reiterate this one more time, I would sum it up with the words of Jesus, which is two different verses, verse 1 and verse 4. And if you put these together, this is what it says. Do not let your hearts be troubled, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. Day-to-day interactions with people, Jesus is our way. He's the truth. He's the life. If you are dealing with anxiety, dealing with worry, and that is a reality for you, there's also another reality. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When there's darkness and when there's just moments that just seem bleak and hopeless, Jesus is our way. He is our truth. He is our life. You know, when finances just seem to be fleeting, they're going everywhere, and you have things just crazy in your world, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When your body is aching, when you get a diagnosis that's not a positive one, or someone in your family gets that, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I remember that day as Kelsey came tumbling down the hill, and it seemed to be slow motion. And just watching her, knowing that the promise that I had said, hey, it's going to be okay, I had failed in that moment. And here's what you have to understand is Jesus doesn't promise that everything's going to be okay in this world. He actually says this in John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Our hope is not in this place. Our hope is not in this world. It's in a place that He is preparing for us. Every time you fall off the sled, every time you hit a tree, every time you hit a bump, every obstacle, all of that, He has overcome. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is. We have a Jesus who sits in heaven right now, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life, and He is preparing a place for us. So if I could encourage you, I don't know your situations. I don't know the things that you're individually dealing with. But what I do know is that there is a place being prepared. And there is a way through what you're dealing with. Jesus may not give you the answer you're hoping for. He may not fix the thing that you're wanting Him to fix or answer the prayer the way that you prayed it. But what I know is He came here to save you and provide a way to the place that He is preparing for us to be in eternity with Him. So I'll say one more time, do not let your hearts be troubled, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. God, thank You for a morning together. And Lord, I thank You for Your word. It tells us right here, take heart, stay strong, for You have overcome the world, Lord. For You have gone before us, and we get to follow after You. And You've left us with the Holy Spirit to walk with us in this world, God. I pray for everyone in this room right now, whatever struggle they may be going with, whatever hardship may be happening, that they can take heart because You have overcome. God, that they can pursue and run after You as You are the way and the truth and the life, and You have provided that, and You are preparing a place now. I pray, God, that we can just latch on to that truth right now. Lord, and I pray for anyone in this room that may not know Your gospel message yet. God, they haven't spent, they haven't taken that moment to accept You and to run after You and to follow after You. Lord, I pray right now that Your message, that Your truth, Lord, would move in the heart of that person or those people, God, that they can chase and run after You. And Lord, I pray, God, this message, help us to take heart in this world. Help us to trust You right now with this hope and everything happening, God, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we are so thankful for Your grace and Your mercy. And it's in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Before you move, I see the time real quick. I want to give just a few announcements. And Josh, you can throw up the app QRs right there. There are multiple events coming up that I just want you to know about. Bunko is this upcoming Friday, okay? It's just in five days from now, we have Bunko. You can register on the app to be a part of that and to come to that, okay? Then we also have our trunk or treat. If you haven't signed up to actually decorate a trunk, youth group, I think we're doing three. We got two guys' cars. One of our girls are doing a car. Sign up on the app for decorating a trunk. And then Sunday the 30th, this is a really big one. We're going to be doing baptisms that day. We have communion that day. And then when service is over, we're going to go back to the gym. There's going to be a meal back there. And the purpose for that Sunday back there is for you to get to know someone that maybe you don't already know. So there's going to be some tables that are set up for you to kind of rotate around. There's going to be questions on those tables to kind of facilitate. There'll be free food. So that's something you're saying, hey, man, there's people I don't know at this church. I would love to get to know them. We want you to be a part of that. All of that information, any registrations, payments, info, all of that is on our app. So I want to encourage you guys to do that. Get connected and dive in with all that. Thank you guys for being here. Claudia, will you be in the lobby if anybody just wants to say hi? She'll be here after service. Thanks for being here. We'll see you guys next week.